Hi, I'm Gary Kaliev. I want to turn for a moment back to Genesis, the second chapter, in verse 18, where the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This, of course, is the history of marriage. What a wonderful thing to learn about these things. The family is a divine institution, you know, made by God. And it is designed by God to meet man's needs, according to Genesis 2 here that we just read. Society suffers, doesn't it, when homes fail? And today's society is reaping the fruit of weak, ineffective, fractured, and broken homes. Is there anything we can do about it? Oh, yes, my friends, there is. You know, from the beginning, God's plan was for man to be joined to one woman for the duration of a lifetime. For he says in Romans 7:2, "The woman who hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband." Now, home and family are serious matters, aren't they, to both the Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 19:6, as he returns men to that original law, "So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. And therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder," or separate. So it is within the home that the man and his wife find love and companionship, and also satisfaction for all the sexual needs that man has. 1 Corinthians 7:2-5. He said, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband." So fornication being a sin, this is the answer to it. We have God's will, and God wants us to remain unsinful. God intended children to be brought up in a family with a father and a mother. And you know they have the right to ask that a father and a mother be Christians, don't they? Today the home is under attack by the devil as it never has been before. And in our fight against Satan, let's do what we can to save our families from his invasion. You know, Christian families are built on commitment, aren't they? Faithfulness and trust and love. And there must be that commitment to the life of God, both by the man and his wife, if they want to succeed. Moreover, brethren, Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel," 1 Corinthians 15:1, "which I have preached unto you, which ye receive, wherein you stand, and by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Now, there must also be a commitment to one another. We have to be committed to God, but we also have to be committed to one another. And you know, it takes much commitment to have the happiness and the well-being of our family members to build a strong Christian home. You must give unselfishly of your time and of your strength, your possessions, and yourself to build strong homes. Selfishness is the enemy of commitment, isn't it? And of faithfulness. When one desires to have his own way and look at his own self only, then, of course, it is going to work havoc on his home. Christian families are built on service to God. Christian families are always in attendance at the services of the Lord's church. They believe Hebrews 10:25 means what it says, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." You know, missing even one service of the Lord's church and his people, or one Bible class that you could attend, sends the message to your children that Christianity isn't so important to you. Prayer and Bible study also play a major role, do they not, in building Christian families? You know, if we don't build on a solid foundation and we build on sand, then that foundation's going to break. Families must recognize that God is eternal, according to Psalms 90:2, and that he is all-powerful, Genesis 1:3. that he is good, James 1:17, that he is holy, 1 Peter 1:16, and fifth of all, that he is present everywhere, according to Psalms 139. And you know, strong and happy and successful families can never be built without service to the one who established the first home, that is, our eternal God. Christian families are built on appreciation of one another, aren't they? Without appreciation, the love in that family dries up, and it is a very barren wasteland. The need to be appreciated is one of mankind's greatest needs. Husbands and wives and children all share this common need, and any time it is not given, there's going to be problems and difficulties. You know, our goal should be to express appreciation to our spouses and to our children and our love for them, and of course to our parents. Therefore, whatever you want men to do unto you, do ye even also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7 and verse 12. So expressing appreciation is simply the golden rule in action, and you know what, my friends? It works. Christian families are built on kindness. Kindness is an essential quality for every Christian family. And be kind, it says in the Bible, Ephesians 4:32, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Tender-hearted is a key expression here. One who is gentle and warm and caring and understanding will build up his family, won't it? Husbands are especially admonished to avoid harshness in not being able to be pleased. Husbands, love your wives, Colossians 3:19, and do not be bitter toward them. You know, simple courtesy and tenderness are necessary for strong families, aren't they? Wives need to know that they also are the queen of the home and have such an important place there. One person, unknown to me who it was, but he wrote 1 Corinthians 13 for the home. Now, as you know, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And this reads like this. If I live in a house of spotless beauty, with everything in its place, but have not love, I am a housekeeper, not a homemaker. And if I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves dust in search of a child's laugh, and love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up a child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection of my child. As a mother, there is much that I must teach my child, but the greatest of these is love. Don't you think that fits? You know, Christian families have to practice being friends, don't they? Don't save all of the smiles for the company. And second of all, they need to listen to each other. There are things that need to be said, and if you don't listen to each other, you will find that there will be disruption in the home. Then third of all, we need to love one another. That, of course, is one of the greatest things. Love, of course, is interest, and it is that which is shown in one another. Without that love, that is certainly not what it ought to be. Then fourth of all, we need to spend time together. We need to eat together and pray together, worship together. We need to have, fifth of all, strong commitment to the family and to God. And sixth of all, we need to be kind and tender-hearted toward one another. Forgive one another, as the Lord forgave us. Now, you know, that's really a great thing to come up to. As the Lord forgave us was sacrificially, completely, and that's the way we must forgive one another. Eighth of all, if we want the home that builds upon Christian foundations, we must appreciate each other. And ninth of all, we need to listen to each other. And tenth of all, help the other family members go to heaven. That's really the most important thing of all. And you know, strong families build strong churches. There's no doubt about that. Now, what does the Bible say about the home? Well, the home is certainly in trouble today in our world, especially in America. You know, marriage is entered with little or no concern for a lifelong partnership. And oftentimes, gospel preachers may still utter the words, "Until death do us part," but it so often falls upon deaf ears. Has God likewise changed his will regarding the home and the family? Is God's standard, the Bible, for all men, adaptable to culture and society, as some say today? Not at all, my friends. Hebrews 13:8-9 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, be not moved away by divers and strange doctrines. It is by God's word that all men will be judged. John 12:48. Now, since the home is the creation of God, since it is the home that is instituted by God in the beginning of human history, that the home is the sacred arrangement in which husband and wife are bound together by God until separated by death, how important it is for us to see the home in the manner that God has made it. The home exists, my friends, for distinct purposes. First of all, it is for personal and self-completion, Genesis 2:18. It was not good for man to be alone. The man and the woman are incomplete without each other. And it is for the avoidance of immorality, you know, sex, which is fornication and adultery included, outside of scriptural marriage is sin, my friends, 1 Corinthians 7:2-4. And it is for the purpose that people may have a better understanding of their relationship to Christ and His church. The home is divine. How about your home?